we'll be where we were last week. I hope we're where we were spiritually. I hope today we'll be where we were last week spiritually. Not just me, but you. Amen. The Lord helped us last Sunday beyond all of us. He moved and spoke and breathed in the service in a wonderful, glorious, powerful way that I don't believe we will soon get over. And, you know, when God don't move in a service, I'm over it before I ever get in the car. Amen. In fact, I usually try to forget it. I say, please, Lord, help me to forget that. Or if I do pray about it, I say, Lord, don't ever let that happen again. But boy, when He moves, it makes a difference. When He's around, it makes a difference. We need Him. We've got to have Him. And here's the blessed truth. He's available. He is available. Amen. He's available. And He's approachable. Amen. That's good. That's a good thought. He's approachable. He's available. He's accessible. He's able. Amen. Right there's you enough right there to help you. Sure. Amen. All right. Jeremiah chapter 29. In verse number, we'll just start reading in verse number 10. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place. Now, without going back dealing a lot, we just mention that this is dealing with the Babylonian captivity, God giving a word through Jeremiah in chapter 29 to be sent to those captives, encouraging them that this confinement and this bondage, this captivity wouldn't be permanent, that it's just going to be temporary. It's going to be 70 years, but it's going to run its course. And it'll be after that that this word is going to come to pass. In verse number 11, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart. And then in verse 14 he said, I will be found of you, saith the Lord. Who's he talking about? I will be found of you. Who is it? It's those in verse number 13 that the Bible says that will be seeking me with their whole heart. He said they are the ones that will find me. And the only way you can find me is that I will allow that to happen. I will be found. God says, I will be found of you, saith the Lord. Now, he's talking about those that specifically are seeking him in verse 13. But we have even a more clear identity as to who these people are in verse number 12. It's those that are calling upon the Lord. Those that are going to go and pray. God said, I'll hearken unto you. Seekers are prayers. You're not seeking the Lord if you never pray. Amen. God says in verse number 12, you'll be praying, I'll hear you, you'll seek me, you'll find me. Verse 14, I'll be found of you, saith the Lord. I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord. And I will bring you again into this place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. And of course you can read on and study on further, but I believe there are several times here that God says, I will. I will. Not I might, but He says, I will. What does I will tell us this morning? It tells us God has a plan. God is in control. You know, you and I will say, I might, or I will try, or I hope. But God can state emphatically, I will. I will. I will be found of you. I will turn away your captivity. I will gather you. I will bring you. Amen. Only God can do that. Because He don't have to take a vote. He don't have to ask, can I? Will it be all right? Or can I have your cooperation? God says, I will. I've got a plan and I'm going to do it. And this time of the year reveals that. The plan of God, though impossible as it seems for a virgin birth to take place, it happened. You say, I don't believe that. Well, I know three things about you by that statement if you say, I don't believe that. Number one, you are not saved. There's no way a child of God is a child of God and do not believe in the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. Amen. I mean, that's a fact. I didn't ask you that. Can you explain it? None of us can explain it. In fact, I can't explain the physical birth, much less that of the supernatural virgin birth of Christ. Amen. In fact, it wasn't the birth that was a miracle anyway. Do you know that? She had Him the same way your mama had you. At the end of term, went into labor and had the baby. The miracle came through conception. Amen. That's where the miracle took place. That which was in her was conceived of the Holy Ghost of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. But I'm glad God's got a plan. And this time of the year, you consider the Christmas story, the Christmas accounts in the Bible. It ought to encourage you to know that God is able and that God is not hemmed up in a corner somewhere and is controlled by men and their thoughts and the government of our land. He's in control. He's got a plan. In fact, the government of the land tried to stop this plan of God. Herod wanted Him killed. Amen. They tried to stop the plan of God numerous times, not just in the New Testament, but throughout the Old Testament. You find the devil moving to try to stop the plan of God, but to no avail. Why? Because we serve a God that can say, I will. But our thought for this morning is verse 13, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. We attempted to deal with this last Sunday morning, and God, I started to say God got us sidetracked, but I think He got us on track. As He turned the emphasis of the message toward the lost, toward sinners, about seeking the Lord, seeking the Savior in salvation. And we are using Matthew chapter number 2 as an illustration of what it would mean to seek after God. I would wonder this morning how many in this building are seeking the Lord. I wonder how many in this building are seeking after God privately. Are you listening? It's one thing to come to church. It's one thing to be among the public gathering of Christians. But what about on a private note, in your mind, in your thoughts, in your attitude, your motives, when nobody's looking? I wonder how many would be pursuing a fellowship and pursuing a relationship with God. I believe the need of the day is to seek God, seek after God. Because if you'll seek Him, God says, I'll be found of you. Amen. Amen. That's right. But in Matthew chapter 2, verse number 1, and now, the Bible said, now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is He that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen His star in the east and are come to worship Him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Because see, Herod wanted to be the king of the Jews. Herod didn't want a competitor. And a lot of people looked at Jesus as competition. Amen. Your life, in my life and in your life, Jesus should have no competition. There should be no competitors in your life with the placement of Jesus in your life as King and Lord and Master and Friend and Lover and Savior and Guide. Amen. Is Jesus having to compete with the world for your attention? Is he having to compete with another king in your life that's reigning over your life and in control of your life? Is he competing? Does he feel like he's in danger? And I'm just going to tell you, no man can serve, no man can have two masters. You can't serve two masters. I tell you what will happen right here. It illustrates one of them is going to try to kill the other one. They're not going to share you. Two kings, the world or Jesus, is not going to share you. And the world, I believe, is it not only evident with Herod, who represents the attitude of the world toward Christ. When Jesus was born on that first Christmas morn, guess what happened? There was an all-out attempt to kill Him. Do away with Him. And you don't have to be too smart to see that that same mentality is operative in our world today, and that is kill Him. Jesus, His influence has been killed in our public school system for the most part. Jesus, His influence has been killed in our nation and our government. You know that's right. And a lot of churches have killed Him too by allowing liberalism and compromise and worldliness to come in like a tidal wave. And all of that, we know who's behind it. We know who it was that was behind Herod's mentality. Let's kill Him. Find out where He's at. Tell me where He's at. We're going to kill Him. That's the attitude toward Christmas. Sad to say, a lot of God's people have joined in. Amen. Most of the things that people that go to church give themselves to during this wonderful time of the year have nothing to do with Jesus. Say amen right there. That's a truth, brother. You know it would grieve Him, it would quench Him and hurt Him to know that it's His birth that we should celebrate. It's His birthday that we should be honoring instead of everybody else. Amen. But we've done it, of course, by choice, but the one behind the scene is the same one that was behind the scene with Herod's mentality. Let's kill Him. Let's do away with Him. Let's take Him out of our textbooks. Let's take Him out of our school system. Let's take Him away from our young people where they're raised without exposure to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why, my friend, you can talk to the Rock of Ages prison ministry and they'll tell you that all of the juvenile prisons of our land are packed to overflowing. Why? We're raising a generation without Jesus. No wonder they're heathens. No wonder they have no respect or regard for the things of God. No wonder they have no desire. You'll not have a desire for what you have never heard about. I remember, and I'm not old, praise God, amen. But I remember being taught the Christmas story in a public school class. Are you listening? I remember saying the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag in the public schoolhouse. It was a common thing in the public school where I went to have the Bible in the classroom. And read early in my early years, elementary years, and it was even read in the morning. But before I graduated, that all had about quit. Amen? Well, I wasn't aiming to deal with that, but I'm just simply saying that mentality that Herod had of killing Jesus is still around today. Amen. That's right. But we'll go ahead and read on. The Bible says, where do we get to? Verse number 2. Did we get to 2? 3. Got to 3. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes, the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. I want to know where He's at. And verse 5, and they said unto him in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet. Here we see another insight that God is in control and has got a plan. God writes it in prophetical words. And what is prophecy? It's history recorded before the account ever occurs. God don't have to wait till it happens to write it down. We do. If we're going to write something down and record it as history, a fact that happened, and I would like to ask the those that would write the history books of our classrooms today, who gives them the right to leave out historical facts? The founding of our country. Most of our young people today know very little about it, only what they want them to know. If it's history, it's facts, whether I like it or whether you don't, whether I don't like it. If it's a historical event, it's a historical fact, it's history. It's history. Amen. Well, anyway, here we find God is in control in verse number 5. And they said unto him in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou Bethlehem in the land of Judah, and not are not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people, Israel. Then Herod, when he heard, had probably called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go, search diligently for the young child. And when you found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. Did he want to worship him? Of course not. He wanted to kill him. He wanted him dead. And that's seen throughout the story of Herod, how that he demanded the 2-year-old children and under to be killed. But look, if you will, here in verse 9, and when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child and Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts. There's the gift given of Christmas. Given unto him. What are we giving him this year? What are we going to give him this year? Give unto him gifts. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Just point this out, that they had opened their treasures. They didn't give him scraps, leftovers. After they'd done everything else, they gave him out of their treasures the gifts. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way, seeking after God. God's people are instructed numerous times to do that. In fact, in this same text, or same book, Matthew chapter number 6 and verse 33, the Bible tells us, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. God's people are seekers. Now, I know as we preached about last Sunday, sinners are to seek the Lord. There's nothing wrong with telling a lost person to seek after God. Amen? Seek after the Savior. There's nothing wrong with that. But I want to say to you, dear friend, that after you get saved, the search does not stop. Oh, we're no longer seeking Him as Savior. We're not seeking Him to be saved. But after salvation, we're seeking Him as a servant. We're seeking Him as a saint of God. We're seeking Him as a worshiper, as a worker. Amen. We're seeking His intimacy. We're seeking His fellowship. We're seeking His will. We're seeking His pleasure. We're seeking His approval. We're seeking His smile. We're seeking His favor. We're seeking His will. God's people are seekers. Amen. Oh, I've seen so many in these days. They seek the Lord seemingly in salvation, but after they get saved, they seem like they never seek after the Lord. Seem like they had a greater desire for the Lord before salvation. To try to, you know, to be saved, and then after they get saved, seem like their desire dwindles. Oh, getting saved is the beginning. Getting saved is the introduction. How many people have ever read a book and read the introduction and closed it and said, I'm done. I enjoyed the book. It was wonderful. No, the whole purpose of the introduction is to fire you up to want to get into chapter 1. And then chapter 1 leads you to chapter 2 and all the way through to the conclusion. Getting saved is the introduction. You're introduced to Jesus. You know Him now. You've met Him. And you've stepped into a big world. And thereafter you should seek Him as a child of God for intimacy. This thing really got on. Let me read this verse, and I'm going to share something the Lord gave to me last night. Colossians chapter number 3, you don't have to turn, but just listen. We're instructed as children of God again to seek the Lord. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above and not things on the earth. God's people are seekers. There is a connection between seeking the Lord and your spirituality. I know when in my own life, amen. When I seek after God, my spirituality increases. When I'm seeking to know Him intimately, when I'm seeking Him on the pages of His Word, when I'm seeking Him in the prayer closet, when I'm wanting to know His voice, and when I want to know His will, seem like my spirituality increases. But when my seeking stops, my spirituality stops. Amen. When my seeking stops that is spiritual, then usually it is replaced with a seeking or a searching that is carnal. It's not a matter of are you a seeker this morning. It's not a matter of are you seeking. The matter at hand is, is your searching spiritual or is it carnal? Is it heavenly or is it earthly? Is it physical or is it spiritual? Amen. But I want to share this with you about the seeking of the Lord found in Matthew chapter 2. The wise men, before they ever got to Bethlehem, before they ever walked in the house, before they ever saw Mary and the child Jesus there, before they ever saw Him, they knew He was born. They didn't come into town in verse number 2 and ask the question, what's happened? They didn't come into town and say, who is it that's born? Something's happened. We've seen something unique in the heavens and something has happened. What's going on? No. They came and they said, where is He? Not just any He, but where is He that is born King of the Jews? They knew He was born before they ever got to Herod, before they ever got to Bethlehem. They knew He was born, but yet they sought after Him. They desired to be intimate. They desired to behold Him. They weren't just satisfied with having a knowledge in their mind that this King of the Jews prophesied from the Old Testament was born. They weren't just content with that. They wanted to seek Him. They wanted to see Him for themselves. Amen. They wanted to seek Him for themselves. They wanted to see Him. They wanted to behold Him. They wanted to worship Him. And that's why we as God's people are instructed to seek after God. And we've all heard this statement that we know in Matthew 2. It was the wise men that was seeking after the Lord. Could we say the old Christmas saying we've heard for years, wise men still seek after God. Wise men, it is wise people that seek after God. If you're here today and you're lost, it'll be the wisest thing you've ever done in your life to seek after the Savior. That He might be found of you. Amen. Oh yes, Isaiah 55 and verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while He can be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Amen. Wise. Oh listen, most of us can testify of foolish things we chose to do in life. Most of us can testify of foolishness. Amen. Things stupid that we've done in life. Could we not? Amen. Boy, I have. I'm telling you. I mean stupid things. Stupid things that I chose to do. Stupid things that I said, I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that. Hey man, I mean stupid things. But I will tell you, praise God, the wisest move I ever made was January the 20th, 1981, when I made an old-fashioned trip to an old-fashioned altar and got gloriously introduced to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and was wonderfully saved for time and eternity. It is still wise men that seek after the Lord. Amen. The world will never tell you that. The world will say if you wisdom, in fact, 1 Corinthians says that the wisdom of man, the wisdom of God, the foolishness of God is greater than the wisdom of man. Amen. The Bible said that that man through wisdom will not know God. Amen. You can't know God that way. Amen. You can only know God on a spiritual level. And it'll come through revelation. God will reveal Himself to you and work in your life and draw you to Himself. But I want to tell you the wisest thing you'll ever do is seek after God. Amen. Not everybody in town was seeking after God. I mean, think about it. There Jesus was, Brother Seals, right there in town. And there was nobody seeking Him. Amen. Jesus was right there in town. The town was so full of people that there wasn't even no room for Mary and Joseph in the inn. They had to go out into in a stable for Jesus to be born. That's how many people was in town. It was full. But how many were seeking the Lord? Could we say this morning that the majority and of population is not going to be seeking the Lord? They're not interested in the Lord. This world is not interested in the Lord. Never has been, and I started to say never will be, but there will be a time that they will be interested in the Lord. Because every knee's going to bow and every tongue's going to confess that He is Lord to the glory of the Father. Yes, sir, there's going to come a time this world's going to be introduced to Jesus. They're going to be interested in Jesus when He comes back, thank God, with that great army with Him. On white horses, amen, and fights the battle of Armageddon. Amen, defeats the armies of the world with the sharp sword that proceedeth out of His mouth and with the brightness of His glory. Defeat the armies of the world. So many people will die that the blood in the valley of Megiddo will be so deep it'll flow to the horse's bridle. Amen, there'll be so much dead carcasses and flesh, my friend, that God will draw, if you will, the fowls of the world, all the buzzards of the land will gather in that valley called the Supper of the Great God. When all that mess is cleaned up, and without a doubt and question who it is that really is King. Hallelujah. Thank God, buddy, when He sets up, when He puts His foot on the Mount of Olives, the same one He left out of here from, He's going to put His foot on the Mount of Olives and it's going to split. Amen. Praise God. See, I don't believe that. Well, this is for believers. The Bible is for believers. You say, my church don't preach that. Well, get out of it. Amen. Amen. That's the truth. Praise God. I'm telling you, Jesus is going to reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. He will do that. But it's wise men that's going to seek after the Lord. The world says if you're wise, seek after career. Seek after wealth. Seek after popularity. And most young people, that's what they give themselves to, is pleasure and popularity and fitting in and being accepted by their peers. And being something in the eyes of the world. But I want to tell you, dear friend, if you this evening could attain the keys of all the pleasures of this world and all the popularity, you have made a series of foolish choices. Because purity will never put you on the top. Righteousness will never put you on the top of world's recognition. They'll not write about you in the who's who if you're living for God. If you're going to be something with this world, you all but nearly going to have to sell your soul. Amen. They do it all the time. They do it all the time, and a lot of parents want their children to be so popular that they're willing to push them out into the mainstream of wickedness and ungodliness, all for the sake of having a son or daughter with a popular name. It is wise men that seek after God. Well, there's a lot of things we could say about that, but could I just deal with this quickly? I want to deal with the wise men and we'll be done. In Jeremiah 29:13, seek ye the Lord. We are told in the text there to seek after the Lord. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. That word seek there means to request. It means, and I'm going to point out two words out of the definition that I want us to talk about this minute. It means to request. Inquire, to search out, to require, or to desire. That's what the meaning in Jeremiah 29:13 of the word seek means. It means to, and I just want to lift up two words out of that definition, is the word inquire and the word require. You will not seek after what you do not require. A requirement is a necessity. Amen? In other words, to inquire, that expresses a desire. But to require something, that expresses a demand. I've got to have it. You know when you'll find the Lord, when you'll seek after the Lord? When you require Him. When your life requires Him. When choices require Him. When direction requires Him. That's when you'll seek after Him. Most people don't seek after the Lord because they don't inquire of the Lord because there's no requirement of the Lord. I'm not going to go back and deal with it, but if you just want to jot it down, the first mention of the word, Hebrew word translated in Jeremiah 29:13 as the word seek, is found in the Word of God is Genesis 31:39. You'll write that note down and that's one way you can study. Just go back and find where it was mentioned first. You can do that. There's help. Study helps help us do that. Find out where it was mentioned first, and look at the setting of it. Look at the setting of it, and it'll carry that same meaning throughout the Scripture. Well, in Genesis 31:39, here's what the verse says: "That which was torn of beast, I brought not unto thee." I bear the loss of it, of my hand, didst thou, here's the word, didst thou require it, that's the word, require, whether stolen by day or stolen by night. You say, preacher, what's that verse got to do with anything? If you look at that setting, here's the application. Here's the application. The word is used in Genesis 31:39 to describe something missing and desired to be found. That's what seeking after the Lord is. It's when you're being controlled by what's missing in your life and what is a requirement and what is necessary for you to find. Amen. Be a happy day in our life when we start have a quick eye to recognize spiritual things that's missing in our life. When we start losing ground spiritually. When we start losing ground in areas of our life. Amen. Keep your eye, you've heard me say it many times, keep your eye on your own spirituality. You should be the first one that should notice decline. You should be the first one to notice a spiritual deadness. And you should be the first one, amen, to notice when something's missing spiritually. No doubt some of you sitting here this morning, I come to church and you can testify, preacher, I'm not where I need to be with God. You know what that's saying? Something's missing. You know what that's saying? I've lost ground. I'm not where I need to be. Something's missing. And I'm disturbed over it. And I'm concerned about it. And I'm hunting it. And I'll not be content till I find it. That's the meaning behind that word. The word find there in Jeremiah 29:13, and ye shall seek me and find me. First time that word is used is Genesis 2 and verse 20. Genesis 2, verse 20. And Adam gave names to all cattle, to the fowls of the air, to every beast of the field. But for Adam, here comes our word, But for Adam, there was not found an helpmeet for him. You say, what's that got to do with finding? Finding. Adam was living in a world of plenty. Everywhere he looked was plenty. There was plenty. There was animals. There was everything. But still, there was something missing. And there was not found for him a helpmeet. What is the connection there between our text and our thought of seeking after the Lord to that? And that is, my friend, we will find what it's going to require God to give us. Adam couldn't find a helpmeet nowhere on planet Earth. It required God to move. It required God to act. It required God to provide what Adam was needing. You know when we'll find what we're seeking? Is when we're seeking what requires God to provide. What is it in our life that we're really after that requires God to give it? What is it in our life that we're seeking that requires God to provide it and to do it? God had to give Adam his wife, Eve. And that's a good lesson for all young people. Be good to just let God do that. Amen. Amen. God let Adam just went to sleep. And God went to work. Amen. Young people, you, as far as that's concerned, go to sleep. Amen. Go to sleep and let God work. And you'll open your eyes one day and you'll say like Adam did, whoa, man. That's why as he called her woman, he looked at her and he thought, wow. Amen. That's right. But anyway, I thought that's pretty good. That's pretty good. Amen. But we'll find that which requires God to provide. Could I just mention something about the wise men? I've got piles of things I could deal with. Verses that deals with seeking the Lord throughout the Scriptures. All kinds of verses and Psalms and Proverbs and 2 Chronicles and Jeremiah. You know just about seeking the Lord. But I just want to point out just a few simple things about the wise men. And we'll be done. Number one, I noticed that them seeking after God was personal. They didn't wait on a crowd. I know history or not history, but tradition says there was three of them. We three kings of all, you know. But we don't have no proof that there was just three of them. You know, some say there was three because there was three gifts given. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Well, that's still not a verification. But anyway, I mean, you're not a heathen if you believe that there's three, alright? And they're never called kings either, by the way. They're only called wise men or the magi, which comes from the word magic. These were astrologers. But anyway, you know, tradition gets in Christmas that's not really, really found in the Word of God. But their search was personal. Ever how many there were of them, we know that there probably wasn't many of them, probably only a few of them, we don't know how many, but they were the only ones seeking after God. And I might add, they were Gentiles. They were Gentiles, and we all know that in the Old Testament economy, Gentiles were not privileged to the things of God. They were never given a promise. They were never given a covenant. God never made a covenant in the Bible, in the Old Testament, with a Gentile. They were rejects. In the New Testament, still seen that even the Jews and the Gentiles had no dealings. Samaritans didn't have no dealings with the Jews. Rejects. We were called Gentile dogs. Gentile dogs. But you know what? Here we find them seeking after God on a personal note. Don't wait on somebody else to join you. Don't wait on a crowd to get in there with you and say, hey, come on, let's go, let's seek after God. No, do it personally. Have the attitude, I'm going to seek after the Lord, my friend, whether anybody else does or not. Amen. Their search was personal. And the Lord gave me this morning, I wrote it down. They were not only seeking the Lord personally, but here's another note you might want to add to that about personal seeking. They were running and fellowshipping with other seekers of the Lord. Each one of them, my friend, was running with, fellowshipping with, walking with other seekers of the Lord. You say, preacher, what are you saying? I'm simply saying, or God is saying to us here, you will not seek after the Lord and run with those that are not seeking after the Lord. We are people of association. We are people of influence. We're influenced by people around us. You can't help that. That's the way it is. But you can help who it is that is around you. You can help and make choices about who it is that's going to get into my inner circle of friendship and influence my life. Amen. 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 And right here we find that these magi, these wise men, guess what? They were all running together, headed in the same direction. Associate yourself with men. Abraham Lincoln said, associate yourself with men, with people of good quality, if you esteem your own reputation. Your ability to choose friends reveals a lot about your ability, my friend, to make choices. In other words, someone said it this way, and I've used it numerous times, show me your friends and I'll show you your future. Because you're turning out what they are. What they are, you're becoming. Or they are what you are. One of the two. Amen. Amen. Choose your friends wisely, because most of the time your mate will come out of your friends. If you can't choose a friend, you cannot choose a mate. Say amen right there, young people. If you can't choose a friend, you can't choose a mate. Hey, man. That's right. I think that's good to be said in church. I think there's nothing wrong with that. When our homes are falling apart everywhere you look, the average now is over 50% of all marriages end up in divorce and do so before 2 years is up. I think it's wise to make a good statement like that. Choose your friends, because out of your friends, most time will come a mate. Amen. You'll probably be a friend to someone before you fall in love with someone. Amen. But anyway, amen. That's good. That's good. But they was running with others that were interested in what they were interested in. Is your friends helping you spiritually? People you fellowship with and run with, my friend, are they helping you spiritually, or are they pulling you down spiritually? These men was running together because they believed alike, and they shared the same interest. They all of them wanted to find the Lord. It'd be wise for us to associate ourselves with people that wants to find the Lord, that's seeking after the Lord. Amen? Amen. Not every church is even wanting to do that. Not every church is even wanting to seek after the Lord. Well, amen. I'm not going to go there, but I could. Let me deal with the second thing that it was involved in their seeking after the Lord. Not only was it personal, but also it involved a parting. They had to leave something. They had to leave. They had to turn and walk away from a location. They had to walk away from a familiarity. They had to, listen, there was a parting. That's my word. Not only was it personal, but it involved a parting. Listen, a lot of people will not seek the Lord because they're not unwilling. They're unwilling to turn loose of something. They're not willing to seek after God, my friend, because they're unwilling to have a detachment in their life. Amen. A lot of people would get saved if they could bring all of their whole messed up life in with them. And I do believe you can come as you are, and I believe God will save you just like you are. I don't believe you have to go through reformation before you get to salvation. Amen. But a lot of people want salvation. They want to go to heaven, but they don't want to turn loose of sin. There was a parting in their life. According to what we have found out in studying, and you've heard this before, these people, my friend, these men right here, these wise men, they searched for Jesus between 1.5 to 2 years before they ever got to where He was at. He wasn't, Brother Carroll, when they found him, he wasn't in a barn, he was in a house. That's what the Bible said in verse 11. Are you listening? He wasn't a babe, he was called a child, a young child in verse 11. The shepherds, now when they came, they found him laying in a manger. He was a newborn babe. But when these men sought the Lord, brother, they had searched for some 1.5 to 2 years before they ever found the Lord. It involved a parting. They left their comfort zone. They left the familiar. They possibly left family and friends. I'll tell you something, a lot of people might need to leave is business. Leave business. If you're not careful, your life will be so full of ties and anchors and things that's got you bound down that you couldn't seek the Lord if you wanted to. Amen. Amen. I believe one of those is debt. Now I know we're probably getting quiet right here, but I believe one of them is debt. Amen. That's right. I mean, listen, the plastic, little old plastic thing about that big right there has ruined many people's lives. It's called a credit card. Amen. I mean, I could give you case and points of people in my family and my, I'll just put it this way, in my wife's family, in my family. We could give you examples of people that are absolutely having to work 3 and 4 jobs to try to keep their head afloat because of debt. Listen, if you want to die spiritually, live beyond your means. Write that in your Bible and say, Preacher Rackley said so. Live beyond your means if you want to die spiritually. Amen. I don't be getting too many amens right there. Y'all think the Bible is quiet about finances? Say amen, Brother Matt. Brother Matt studied it out, is it? How many references is it? Over how many? You told me it's thousands of them, isn't it? Over 2,300 references in the Bible to money and finances. Hello? Bible's not silent about it. Amen? I know what we've done. Listen, we've raised a generation, my friend, off of Hollywood that wants you to live on their level. And they wouldn't be on their level if our levels wasn't paying to watch their stinking movies. Amen? That's the truth. Amen. My Bible says neither be partakers of other men's sin. I figured it'd get quiet on that, but I wasn't even to say that. But debt. A lot of people can't seek after God because they can't turn loose. They got too many things hold of them. I have no doubt about it. God's called people to do mission work over the years and preach and whatever else, but they can't do it because they're so bound down to different ties in their life. So their search was personal. Their search involved a parting. Their search, according to our text, was passionate. God said, "You shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me." Here it comes, with all your heart. God is saying, if you're going to find me, it won't come from the outside. It's going to come from the inside when you're passionately wanting to find me. When your heart is involved. When your will is involved. When your desire is involved. He said, you'll find me. You'll find me. Seeking God with your whole heart. Let me read this verse to you in Psalms 119. Psalms 119, I'll just read this to you in verse number 2. Psalms 119 and verse 2. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with the whole heart. That's what the Bible says. Those that seek Him with their whole heart, the Bible said that crowd will be called blessed. And we know what the word blessed means. The word blessed in the Bible means happy. Oh, how very happy. How many is after happiness today? How many here, I'm going to just ask you, how many here would like to be happy? Not just happy, but oh, how very happy. Well, about half of you raised your hand. That may be the half that's listening. Because the other half, surely, that didn't raise their hand, surely couldn't have been listening, because surely everybody's after happiness. But happiness cannot be found in and of this world. Happiness is not materialistic. Happiness is not financial. Happiness is spiritual. Say amen right there. I'm preaching right here something that ought to help you. Happiness is not financial. It's not how much money you got in the bank. It's not how what kind of possessions you got. Cars you drive, house you live in, clothes you wear. It's not that. That's not where happiness come from. God's Word said, blessed are they that keep His testimonies. Blessedness in the Bible is spiritual. Your heart will be overwhelmed with happiness when it is overwhelmed with holiness. Happiness comes through holiness. Happiness does not come through worldliness. Happiness does not come through possessions and materialism. Happiness comes through being intimate with God. Having your life in line with God. Amen. Amen. So it involved a passion. Their search was involved. It involved a passion. Could I mention also, it involved a purpose. They weren't aimlessly wandering around with no goal in mind. They had a goal in mind. We've come. The first thing out of their mouth was in Matthew 2. They said, where is He that's born King of the Jews? For we have seen His star in the east. And are come to worship Him. You'll not seek after God unless you've got a purpose. Why do you want to find Him? Amen. Tell me why you want to find Him, and that'll tell me whether or not you're willing to search for Him, and that also tell me whether you will find Him or not. Well, I want to find Him that He'll bless my life with millions of dollars. You won't find Him. In fact, the people that sought Him first, the people here in Matthew 2 that sought Him, they didn't get, they was given. When they found Him, they was given instead of getting. They said, basically, we want to find Him because we want to give to Him. Oh, that'll kill a church service, won't it? We want to find Him because we want to give to Him. He's blessed us with treasures and helped us, and we want to give to Him. We want to find Him so we can worship Him. We want to find Him so we can love on Him and be intimate with Him and have close fellowship with Him. That's why we want to find Him. Why do you want to find Him? I'm telling you, their search was purposed. It was with a purpose. They wanted a king in their life. Amen. Where is He that is born King of the Jews? You know what they were saying? Brother Jeremy, they were saying, we want to find Him because He's King. You know what they were saying? We want a king. You know, when you'll get do business with God is when you are tired of being the king of your own castle, and when you're tired of being your own Lord and running your own life and running your own show, and you start seeking Him and you're wanting Him to be king. First 20 years of my life, I was king. First 20 years of my life, I was king of my own life. And I want to tell you, I made a mess of it. I made a mess of it, Brother Seals. I'm telling you, made stupid and ignorant choices. But January the 20th, 1981, at the age of 20, when I got saved that night by the grace of God, I didn't know how to express it. But really, in my heart, what I was needing was I needed a king that could run my life and do it in a righteous fashion. A lot of people want a Savior, but they don't want a king. They didn't come and say, where is the Savior at? They said, we want to know where the King's at. Amen? If you want Him to be king, you won't have no problem noticing and finding out He's your Savior. A lot of people want a Savior to get them out from under the condemnation of God and get them out of the awful fate of hell. They want a Savior that'll do that, but they don't want a king. They don't want a king. We're going to worship Him in the heavens according to Revelation because of His kingship. That's right. We're going to worship Him, amen? Because of that. He is King. But if He's not King in your heart now, you won't get excited when He sits on the throne as King. Or as Revelation calls it, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. Amen. That's why you can preach on heaven and people, amen, you preach on heaven and preach on, you know, when we get to heaven and worship of God in heaven and all that, and it'll be some of your deadest services. You know why? People can't get excited about the future what they're not excited about now. Amen? He's not going to be my King. He is my King. Well, preach, you wait till we get in the millennial kingdom. Why wait? He's King now. Amen? Why wait? He's King now. Amen? If a man's King, he's calling the shots. And I'm sure a lot of people don't want Him as King. Are you afraid He's going to hurt you? Are you afraid He's going to say something? I want you to do this. I want you to do that. Or don't do this. Or stop that. Are you afraid He's going to do something? Or say something, ask something, demand something that's going to be detrimental to you? Preach, I won't ever have any more fun if I have Him as King. Somebody has been lying to you if you believe that. Preach, I won't ever have any more fun. I mean, my life will just be an old killjoy. My life will just be boring if I have Him as King. Because, preach, I won't get to do this and I won't get to do that and I won't get to do this. You've got your focus on what you can't do. There's a whole world that opens up of what you can do. And what you can do and your privileges outweighs what you can't do. Amen. In fact, I believe the principle of the Scripture is anything that God takes out of your life, He means to replace it with something far greater and far better. Amen. A good example of that is when I got saved. I lost my life. But I was given His. Hey, I'm going to tell you, I had nothing. My life was a wreck. But look what He gave me. I did. I'll be honest with you. I lost friends. When I got saved and all of a sudden I didn't want to go to the dance hall and I didn't want to go to the dip joint and the beer joints and drink and all that bunch of junk, amen, and foolishness. When I did that, guess what my friends did? They kept right on doing it. Without me. And they said, He'll be back. This is only going to last a little short period of time. It's only a little religious kick. He'll be back down here with us again. He'll be at the party next week or next month. I just thought I'd let it go on tape this morning. This coming January 20th, be 28 years I've not been back. You say, preacher, what have you done? Do you tie yourself with shackles to the bedpost at night and say, oh, if I'm not tied down, I'll wind up on a bar stool before morning? No, I'm going to tell you, God, my friend took my life. I lost it, but He gave me His. He gave me His desire. I'm having a time serving the Lord. Amen. It's good to be saved. It's wonderful to know Jesus as your personal Savior. Wonderful, wonderful to be saved. You said, preacher, you mean you act that happy and you're not drinking? Oh, I'm drinking. I'm still drinking. I've been drinking something for 27 years that I didn't drink before in the first 20 years. I'm drinking from a fountain that'll never run dry. I'm drinking from an inner well. According to John chapter 4, there shall be in you a well springing up in everlasting life. Amen. Why would I want Miller Low Life? And Bud Dumber. Why would I want that junk when I've got the best? Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. And every once in a while, we just might get intoxicated on that drink. Like last Sunday morning, if you'd been here, you'd probably saw a little taste of that. There were several in the church, I think, was just about spiritually intoxicated. Hey, man, I like it. I don't get that near enough. But it's available. Amen. But anyway, theirs was purpose. And number five, quickly, I've got to hurry. I spent too much time on that. Number five, their search was, I couldn't come up with a better word, but their search was piloted. There was a pilot involved. There was a director involved. Hey, man, they weren't just aimlessly wandering around saying, well, I wonder where he's at. Oh, they had a star they were following. They had a heavenly revelation of what they were following. You say, preacher, what does that star represent? Very clearly represents the Holy Spirit. Represents the Holy Spirit. Both, here's, I'll just run side by side parallel between the star and the Spirit of God. Both are heavenly. Amen. Both requires you to look up to see. Both are very real to those that are seeking the Savior. Both lead men to Jesus. Both are radiant with the light of the sun. Both are mobile. Both stands out in the nighttime of darkness. Both are supernatural. Both are said to be His. Amen? The Holy Spirit of God is just like that star. Well, if you follow Him, He will lead you to Jesus. Amen? Listen, I don't have time to deal with this, but it does need to be dealt with at times, especially in our day. There's some churches and some denominations and some religions, all they ever talk about is the Holy Ghost. Holy Spirit this, Holy Spirit that, Holy Ghost this and that and the other. And I'm telling you all but saying that we're to worship Him. But my Bible says that the Holy Spirit will speak not of Himself. Jesus said that when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will not speak of Himself, but He will glorify Me. Give me a church that's talking about Jesus. That's talking about Jesus. That's elevating Jesus. That's magnifying Jesus. And I'll show you a church where the Holy Spirit's at work. Amen. They had their search was piloted. The Holy Spirit begins to work in your life. You'd be wise to start following Him. And then their search, I would say number six, involved progress or a persevering. A year and a half to 2 years, they followed that star before they ever found Him. Sometimes we have preached it and we've made it so quick and easy for people to just make a little quick trip and a little quick prayer. Brother, sometimes it may require you seeking after God. Seeking after God. I've seen people bring people to the altar. I've seen people come to the altar off the influence of others. And I personally dealt with them, and there was no Holy Ghost in the conversation. There was no witness of the Spirit of God in the altar. I had one not too long ago, to be honest with you. I went home, my friend, after that profession was made, and I slept very little that night, greatly disturbed. Greatly disturbed because there was no Holy Spirit, no witness of God, no evidence of God, none whatsoever in that entire gospel presentation in the altar. Amen. I wondered whether they really did come on their own. Disturbed. But it's progress. Sometimes it requires. Listen, you don't hear it now. Brother Seals, some of these in here, I've never really seen it, but I've heard about it. Those mourners' benches. I don't know if we have anybody here old enough to even remember them things. Does anybody here remember those old mourners' benches? A lot of times, Brother Mark, they wouldn't take a center of the altar and run him through a little verse or two. Cynthia would agree with some Bible facts. That don't mean they're under conviction when you ask him, do you believe Jesus died for you? I believe that ever since I've been born physically. Ever since I knew anything about Jesus' death, I always believed He died for me. But I wasn't saved. You can agree with Bible facts and not be saved. Amen? Hello. That's right. There's a big difference of believing in and believing on. Yes, sir. There's a difference of having a head knowledge and say, well, I believe generally that Jesus loved me and died for me. There's a difference in that, brother, in those times when the Holy Spirit of God gets on you and draws you and shows you that Jesus didn't die for the world, He died for you. And that salvation is personal, and the invitation is personal, and the drawing is personal, and the opportunity is personal. I've heard thousands of messages in my first 20 years of my life where I got saved, thousands and thousands, but I only heard two or three that had my name on it, that God spoke to me, Brother Matt, and God dealt with me. First 20 years of my life, I could probably count on, I wouldn't even have five fingers to count the times God dealt with me personally in the first 20 years of my life, and I was raised in church. Brother, I'm telling you, you've got to have the Holy Spirit in your life working, drawing and speaking and dealing with you. That's why it's so important that if God gets to dealing with you in a service or in your weekly activities, God gets to dealing with you in the nighttime, whatever. It's time, Brother Jeremy, like you at the bumper of a Toyota truck, Ivan in a tree stand, amen. Brother James Bailey in the back building in the backyard of Brother Brian Thurman's house. It don't matter where it is, buddy, when the Holy Spirit is drawing you, He'll lead you to Christ. And if you'll keep following Him, He'll not stop till you get there. If you'll not stop, He won't stop. I deal with kids all the time in these altars that are not saved. I could get a profession out of them. I promise you, I could get a profession out of them. You know, because they look up at the preacher, you know, man, a preacher. I could give them a few questions. I could put a little pressure on them. And I guarantee you, I could stand them every one up and they'd give you a profession. I got saved. I'm not interested in that. I'm not interested in becoming a church member. I'm interested in becoming a Christian. I'm not interested in making a profession. I'm interested in them genuinely coming to know the Lord as their personal Savior. I could have got a profession the other night. Right here. I got asked, preacher, pray with me. I said, I sure will. I said, how do you want me to pray for you? My salvation. I said, are you not saved? I don't know. I said, all right, preacher, pray for you. I could have got a profession right there. But I'm not interested in that. This church is not interested in that. We're interested in people really knowing God, really knowing and finding Jesus. We're wanting the Holy Spirit of God to get in charge. I believe you can pick fruit green. I believe you can pick fruit and it green. Of course, I believe also you can wait too long. Amen. I believe there needs to be some discernment and sensitivity there of knowing what to do and how. Amen. I believe that. Oh, the Holy Spirit, just like that star, led them to Jesus. But it may not be a quickie. It may not be an easy thing. It might. Them old timers, Brother Mark, I've heard them to tell them, say, get on the mourner's beat. Weep your way to God. Weep your way to God. Seek after God.